The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths, all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Now, to really hear that poetry, you need to know the context. Today's gospel is John the Baptist quote from the prophet poet Isaiah. Isaiah, Jesus' favorite prophet. This poetry is addressed to the Jews in exile in Babylon. Out in Babylon, their Babylonian captors tried to talk these exiled Jews out of Jewish perceptions of reality. Tried to get them to define reality exclusively by Babylonian imperial categories, by Babylonian definitions of what's what, Babylonian hopes, Babylonian fears. God's people way out in Babylon were told that they were privileged to be living in one of the noblest, most beautiful empires the world had ever seen. Babylonians had some beautiful poetry of their own, I remind you. But against this, God's people out in Babylon wrote poetry that asserted that they were not living in the most beautiful civilization the world had ever seen, but that they were living in wilderness. They made covenant not to forget, not to be seduced by Babylonian imperial poets. By the waters of Babylon we hung up the harp. And they said, sing us one of those good old gospel songs of Zion. And they said, how shall we sing God's song in an alien land? See, just to sing God's song was to be reminded that you were not home. You were in exile. Oh, there must have been Jews in 6th century B.C. Babylon who did not perceive themselves as exiles. They settled in, planted gardens, made their home, and their children met nice Babylonian boys and girls to marry and assimilated, and they learned Babylonian songs to replace the songs of Zion. But others like Isaiah, of a more singular bent, reached into their biblical memory to find an adequate metaphor to describe their situation of alien, exiled strangers in a strange land. Like John the Baptist, they remembered Israel's long ago sojourn in the wilderness. The wilderness, Hebrew word midbar, the wilderness, a wild, pathless, lonely, disordered, dangerous place. Home of wild beasts, the wilderness. When Israel thought of wilderness, it thought of Sinai, that long 40-year trek of wandering where the Hebrew slaves, once liberated, lost their way. And they bowed down to an alien god, and it was tough. Sinai, Deuteronomy 8 says, Sinai, that terrible, pathless place with serpents and scorpions, and thirsty ground. Midbar, wilderness, means wild. It's where people become bewildered. It was in this wilderness that Zion, Isaiah 49, says, the Lord has forgotten me. And you can forget your modern ecological romanticism. Wilderness is not a place for outward bound John Denver exclusive A-frame condominiums. Biblical wilderness is a place where you lose your way and don't know where you are and can't find your way home, and you bow down before the wrong God. I remind you that it was in the wilderness that Jesus lived for 40 years, and he was tempted by Satan to forget his vocation. Wilderness is where people become bewildered. And you see, I'm saying that wilderness is not a place. It's a state of mind. A metaphor to describe any terrifying situation where the straight path is lost and you don't know your way and there is chaos and temptation and bewilderment reigns. Wilderness. It could be 6th century B.C. Babylon for those Jewish exiles. It could be 1st century Roman-occupied Judea for the Jews of John the Baptist's day. It could be 21st century America for contemporary Christians. Wilderness. I'm suggesting that wilderness could be an address for many of us. Just as there were plenty of Jews who wanted to assimilate themselves into the lifestyles and habits of the Babylonian Empire, so today there are some who look upon our culture and sense no abrasion, no collision between the habits of faithfulness and imperial habits. And vast numbers of us are self-destructive. Booze, drugs, cholesterol, Twitter, the economy about to dip back into recession thanks to our friends in Washington, the dogs of war ready to jump at the push of a button, Iran racing to acquire a nuclear weapon, North Korea racing to build missiles that can reach the United States with its nuclear weapons, meth, the recreation of choice across the state of Missouri. Last year, 113 St. Louisans were murdered by their fellow citizens. I have seen street people in downtown Clayton. And so we remember that hometown boy made good, T.S. Eliot, who entitled his great poem to the modern world, The Wasteland. Wilderness. You see, John the Baptist or Isaiah's poetry only makes sense to people who read their situation as wilderness, a place of crooked, treacherous paths and high, unscalable mountains and deep, unreachable valleys. Here is poetry. Poetry that not only lets us describe our situation, but helps liberate us from that situation. Here it's poetry which enables us to be honest, a virtually impossible feat during an election year, which proclaims we live in wilderness, a wild place where there are shrieks of wild beasts, and there is a voice heard saying, "Prepare the way of the Lord." Because we can't find our way to God in such a pathless place. Surprise! God finds his way to us. The Lord comes. Now, such speech, spoken by a lunatic like John the Baptist or an aging prophet like Isaiah, is imaginative, singular speech against the status quo. It is speech that evokes a new reality so that we can be led by the hand out of the present. People in exile, people living in wilderness, are usually either serenely secure or desperately depressed. They can imagine nothing else. People get depressed when they can't imagine. They have lived in this remote, wild valley so long that they think this is normal. Or else they're depressed and despondent and vulnerable because they can imagine no alternative. I'm sure there were 6th century Jews in Babylon who came to believe that Nebuchadnezzar was more powerful than Israel's God. Zion said, "Well, I guess God has forgotten us." And so it was the vocation of the prophet Isaiah or the messianic poet John the Baptist to announce an alternative to wilderness, to subvert the tight-fisted grip of the status quo, to turn upside down the empire with a song, poetry that disengages from the dominant mode of thought. Prepare the way of the Lord. Now, the trouble, of course, is that we've heard these words so often, we've attended countless performances of Handel's Messiah, and so we sometimes miss the revolutionary way in which the poet helps to jar us loose from our perceptual field, to evoke a totally new reality. Here is a God who bulldozes his way through the wilderness to get to us because we can't get to him. If you think about it, Jesus' parables are a similar imaginative literary exercise to jar us loose from conventional modes of thinking and perception, to remind us of home and thereby call us to someplace new, and to name our present situation for what it is. Think of Jesus' parable of the prodigal son. When did the prodigal son realize that he lived in a pigsty in a far-off country? When he remembered home. Remembering home was the turning point. When we remember home, we prepare the way of the Lord. I have a dream, said Martin Luther King. Of course, people who don't dream, people who don't have time to sing songs or preach poetry, just become trapped in whatever mire politicians or anchor persons or other official managers of the imperial metaphors give us. And so most of us are just good soldiers, docile, obedient clerks, who deceive ourselves into believing that this is home. And in such situations, all language is flaccid. It's flattened to prose, prosaic of what is, rather than poetic evocations of what will be. Church talk becomes dull and predictable as the congressional record. We are heirs of modernity, which means we take things as we see them, and we think that poetry is no match for the facts. John the Baptist spoke to those in the wilderness of the first century Roman-occupied Judea by quoting poetry from 6th century B.C. Babylonian exiled Israelites. Just as Israel was summoned forward by a far away voice, "Prepare the way of the Lord," so are we. It takes a lot of courage to remember. It's no wonder that Black History Month has become important. It takes courage to remember, especially in situations of imperially induced amnesia. Because you see, people without memories are easier to manage. We forget our past, and no, John the Baptist is there to remind us. You see, we absolutize the present and content ourselves with the very best of today. It takes a lot of courage to sing, to dream, to read poetry, because you've got to take care. If you criticize Babylonian arrangements, then you might lose a job, an important client, a parishioner. And so few of us make big moves in life. Even little moves scare us. It's an act of poetic courage to reinterpret the present as wilderness, and therefore to move towards deliverance. Because such poetry gives us new space, space we would not have known without that poetry. It asserts against imperial definitions of reality, against governmentally induced contentment, that our God comes to crack open present arrangements and call us back. Prepare the way of the Lord. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod, ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, ruler of Abilene, during the high priestess of Annas and Caiaphas. You see, that's how we tell facts. We just recite who's in power in Beijing or Washington, who is chief of staff, who's chairman of the Fed, and we just wait. Wait for a new administration, wait for a new government program, wait for a tax break, an entitlement, some new handout. Wait, adapt, keep your head down. The word of God came to John in wilderness, and he sent forth word preaching. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. The good news this morning is that you don't have to call wilderness home, or anesthetize yourself to present arrangements, or stumble in the dark bewildered. Hear the Advent announcement, God comes. The angelic host sang their songs to shepherds. Where? In the wilderness, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Will you let the angels sing their song to you? I know it's only poetry, but I met this woman. She was older. She'd seen a lot. I said to her, tell me about your children. And she pulled out a photograph and she said, well, I've got two grown sons here. And the one on the left is a mechanical engineer, and the one on the right is a poet. The poet, he's the practical one. Amen.